You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 158 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, July 24th, 2018, and I'm here in Kansas City. This is JR Cook, and man, it's been a long, long time since we put out an episode, guys, and we apologize for that. So, but we do have the full crew here that for the first time in feels like forever. I think there's a Frozen song that says that, right?
For the first time in forever.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like that, Ray.
I think so. I think that's how it goes.
Well, anyway, we've got, you've heard Ray C over there. How's it going, man?
I've seen better days. There's reasons why we haven't been doing the podcast, and half of that is the fact that I was pretty much in the hospital for a whole month. Yeah, I just had a lot of medical issues. Was not my best month, but you know, we're bouncing back now. I'm on the mend. I'm home. I'm not in the hospital anymore, and I'm just slowly recovering. I haven't gone to like any tournaments. I couldn't go to like DreamHack Austin or HCT Oakland or anything. Like I was literally doing nothing. It wasn't like we just took a break from the podcast or something. Like I was just AFK from life. So I guess it happens. Sometimes you just have off months where your body just doesn't want to work, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, while Ray was not having a good time with that, it was also the month that I had planned to leave here for several weeks because we had bought a new house and was moving into it. And just not having internet and trying to get everything set up again, trying to move. So that's why I was away. And it just happened that it coincided there that Ray got sick at the same time. You can't expect Danny to do a show on his own, right, Danny?
Yeah.
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 I've been really busy with work myself, too. But, yeah, it just was the perfect storm. Everything hit at the same time for everyone.
In some ways, it's like kind of convenient that like we just have a month off and then we come back and now we're just going to be consistent again and do it every week. And I'm actually planning on doing like solo episodes where I interview top players who are winning tournaments. Like this week, I plan on doing an episode with Teray about his HCT Oakland victory and kind of leveraging my friendships with pro players and just trying to use that to churn out some bonus content just because we've been gone for so long, and it feels really crappy, like when you're just sitting on the sidelines and doing nothing for a while. Like I felt like I was going stir crazy just from being sick and doing nothing. Like I wasn't even playing Hearthstone. I was literally doing nothing but sleeping and stuff. So now that I'm back, and now that like everybody's back, I feel like we're just all gonna go and just do what we do.
Yeah, as I said, I had the busiest month of my life this month, and I'm excited. During this time, we had a new expansion get announced that we'll get into here pretty soon as well. But how's it been going for you, though, Danny? What have you been up to in the last month?
I've been mostly doing a lot of wild stuff. I've been playing around. I was top legend for the second or third week this month. Did a lot of refining of different decks. I think I hit 3 at one point, but I also helped to host the One Trick Wild event tourney, which is a huge success. A lot of really high level wild competitors got together, and we had some really good matchups. We casted that last weekend, a lot of fun with that. It was really interesting because we saw one matchup that really wasn't that, it's not that common, but the knowledge of the matchup was really shifted over the weekend. It was Jade Druid versus Togwaggle Druid. The initial assumption going into the weekend was the Jade Druid is favored in the matchup if you just hold on to a Jade Idol going into the swapping of your decks. But it seems that you really have to really start ramping your Jades up. So big strategic change on that one.
Was the Togwaggle player just being too aggressive for the Jade Druid to handle?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. And then the swap allowed, if the Jade Druid player didn't ramp their Jades up quick enough, then the when you swap the decks, the Togwaggle player would ramp their Jades up to contest. And then at some point, like, you put out a big Jade every two turns, but then your third turn, you have to shuffle the Jade Idol back in your deck. So right. A lot of the, it's a huge resource battle, and it really got flipped on its head. We saw the matchup maybe about three or four times on stream. So a lot of, it was a fairly common matchup.
Did, which one ended up winning? Do you? Like,
I think every time we saw it on stream, the Togwaggle Druid player won. I know that off stream we had two examples of the Jade Druid winning, but Togwaggle just overall seemed much stronger.
That's interesting that it played out like that when you guys thought it was the other way around. Is it just because top players are just like advancing the meta in the sense of like the way that you play?
Yeah, we think that it's much harder to play Togwaggle Druid than Jade Druid, because Jade Druid's straightforward to some degree. But when you're going back and forth, saving the right resources is definitely difficult.
Yeah, for sure. And I saw while we were gone, obviously HCT Oakland happened. Teray won that for Standard. HGG just started. I think they're in like week two or three right now. But overall, I feel like everybody's just getting hyped for the next set. Like, it's looking real good, in my opinion, so far.
Yeah, it seems pretty interesting. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to like fully immerse myself in all of the announcements in the last 2 weeks. So just going over it like before the show and reading up on some of these cards, I definitely feel like this is, you know, bigger. Like I'm getting more excited about this set than I was when I first saw it revealed 2 weeks ago. Let's go with that. But I wasn't in the right mind 2 weeks ago either. The day that they announced it was the day that I was moving into my new house, so I had a lot of other stuff on my mind that day. But anyway, for those that are living under a rock, the set that we're talking about, as I said, it was announced 2 weeks ago, is the Boomsday Project. Dr. Boom is back and doing things, and it's got a couple new things in it. Every class has two legendary cards, like we've seen. Every class is getting a legendary spell, which is kind of cool. I think we've had three of them revealed so far.
Yeah.
And then it's got the new magnetic keyword. Which is basically when you play this minion directly to the left of a friendly mech, it will fuse with the other mech, adding its stats and abilities to that mech. So it's like a buff to your other mech. So you can play it as a minion or a buff to the other mech. And then Omega, which I believe is something about, it does something else if you have like 10 mana crystals.
Yeah, get the 10 mana crystals, it has like an effect when you play it, basically.
Right. So,
which they're all pretty good.
So I'm pretty excited that they brought back mechs and are doing stuff with them again. It's been a while since we've seen a mech heavy set. In fact, the last one was when Dr. Boom was in it.
Yeah, I mean, it is called the Boomsday Project, right?
Right.
So
it's kind of crazy they based the entire expansion around Dr. Boom, right? Like in lore wise of like World of Warcraft, he was essentially just a target dummy, and now he's like important enough to have an entire expansion based around him.
Well, just think about how iconic Dr. Boom is in Hearthstone, though. I mean, that's really it right there. He was, you know, he's the first big legendary that everybody screamed was overpowered, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Hearthstone is kind of creating its own identity separate from World of Warcraft lately.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not true at the Witchwood. I'm not really sure with the lore of
No, they totally went with their own thing with the Witchwood.
Like, is Hagatha and Shudderwalk, like, are those...
Nope. Nothing to do with WoW.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it just seems like they're kind of creating their own stuff, and then maybe... I just have a feeling that they're going to put Hearthstone stuff into World of Warcraft
they at some been. Point. They have been.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Like...
Ben Brode character
in WoW. Yeah, there's a Ben Brode character in WoW. There's some other stuff that has made its way into that started in Hearthstone and moved over into World of Warcraft. I can't name any of them off the top of my head right now because I haven't played WoW in a while, and I can't remember because I'm getting old and have a bad memory now. But
understandable.
But I do remember that there are some things. So
yeah.
And the set releases in what, 2 weeks? August 7th, right?
If that's 2 weeks from now, then yeah. That's I don't know. My internal clock is exactly very off. Dude, when you don't leave your house for like a month, like, well, I mean, I left to go to the hospital, but like when you're basically indoors, just like not really living life for like a while, you just kind of forget. Like you wake up and you're just like, wow. It's Saturday. I thought it was Wednesday. When did this happen?
Yeah.
So I just don't know anything anymore. To me, like, everything's thrown off.
Yeah.
It's super humid outside. You don't want to go outside.
Oh, I know. I was outside today. I'm getting better. I went out today. It was, like, 100 degrees. It was crazy.
Anyway, before we jump into, like, talking about some of the cards and reviewing some of them, I wanted to... give a quick update on some things real quick. I completely spaced there at the beginning of the show. I wanted to talk about our Patreon real quick. We know that we haven't done a show this month. I haven't, if you're a patron and you haven't heard from me, hopefully you're hearing from me by the time you hear from the show, because I'm sending some stuff out tonight to get your coaching set up. For this month, and some of that might lead into next month. But if you pay for next month, then you'll get two coaching sessions. So I'll be doing that tonight. And we also changed the Patreon a little bit. I made a handful of changes, a handful of different goals and things like that. We actually reduced the price of nearly all of our tiers. So to become like a legendary now, instead of $50, it's $40. If you want coaching, that tier is now $25 instead of $30. There's some things like that. There's I believe we added a $2 tier that will get you priority access to any future WellMet Hearthstone tournaments. And we do plan on doing some future Hearthstone tournaments. That is one of our goals. In fact, if we start making $250 a month off our Patreon, we'll start doing a quarterly WellMet tournament hosted by the three of us. And I have some ideas on how we can do that. And it's kind of, we're still talking about some of that. So if you want a tournament to happen, then head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast and join one of those tiers and get some coaching while you're at it.
Yeah. And honestly, like, even if JR, if you had to remember to like send out the coach or whatever, like, I wouldn't have been able to do it until like at least this week, because
yeah, that's true,
I was literally not home. Like, I have not turned on my computer until today. Like, today was the first day I turned on my computer since like the last time we did an episode.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, I don't know if you've been following me on Twitter at all, you would have seen like all my posts and stuff. But yeah, again, apologies for that, but sometimes life happens. I don't know, you just kind of learn to accept that. There's nothing you can do. Like,
at least it all happened to us at the same time.
Yeah, and it's like the stuff that happened was completely like out of our control.
Well, mine,
like,
was planned, but
for still. Me, it was out of my control. Yeah. Unless I was born with like a different functional heart. But yeah, I don't know. Sometimes this just happens.
All right.
Now we're back.
Now we're back, and we're talking about Hearthstone, and we've got a bunch of cards that we want to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've been this excited for a new set in, like, a very long time. Like, when I saw the Witchwood spoilers at PAX, like, Shudderwalk was the most interesting card, and even then, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm way more excited for these cards than I am, like, any set that I've seen in a while.
That's saying something.
These definitely seem really interesting.
And the names.
The names are
the best names.
Yeah.
The casting for professional tournaments is going to be great too, right? Where everyone has to be really serious. And most of the time, Hearthstone cards are fairly seriously named. But when it's like, oh, he needs a top deck floop to win the game, it's like, that's going to be ridiculous.
He needs a top deck floops, Florian's flip of the blue.
Oh boy. So anyway, let's jump into these cards real quick. So the first one that we had on here was the Priest Legendary spell, Xeric's Cloning Gallery. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's 9 mana, and it says summon a 1/1 copy of each minion in your deck. And I do believe, Danny, this seems kind of scary for Wild.
It definitely does. It seems that a lot of the people are thinking the application for Big Priest. And yeah, that's definitely a scary concept. One of the concerns, though, is that by turn 9, you've gone through a good solid chunk of your deck. And a lot of the stuff left in there, like the stuff that will be still in your deck comparatively is going to be fairly light. But I don't know, getting a Lich King, getting a Ragnaros and then a Yashiraj or something from your deck, creating 1/1 is going to be scary.
Yeah. For standard, this card, there's been a lot of discussion about this card since it was revealed. This is actually the most recent reveal that's happened. So it's been all over Twitter today. And a lot of people are thinking of putting it in a Malygos shell. So say you don't draw Malygos by turn 9 and you have both Radiant Elementals in your deck. You get Malygos, Radiant Elemental. You just double, triple Mind Blast them or something, and they die immediately.
Ooh.
There's OTKs with that, but
you have to be lucky. Lucky on how you draw your cards in.
Well, you have Malygos and Velen, so you have like two big boys that can help you just end the game. And if you get both of them, like you probably just kill them immediately. But you could play a deck similar to the Mind Blast Priest, you know, and then you just kind of have this as a bomb to end the game immediately sometimes. Like, it could just be a broken card. And if you happen to draw Malygos and Velen, or you draw, like, a Radiant Elemental or something, like, you probably play Lyra in that kind of deck, so you could just use it to get out, like, a Radiant Elemental in a Lyra and just kind of get value. I don't know, I feel like this card is going to have a spot in some type of Control Priest deck. And even if it doesn't end up being strictly OTK, like because you draw the pieces of it, it still wouldn't be bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like anything that can create like 1/1 copies of minions, either in your deck or if it happens to be like in this case it's not this card, but you know how Priest was doing the whole summoning. The resummoning of cards with the big priest and things like that. Anything that does anything like that, I think, is a pretty powerful card. I think the only drawback for it is the fact that it's 9 mana. And like Danny said, by the time you're able to play this, your deck might be a lot thinner. And it might just depend on what you were able to draw already before that, if this is effective or not.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is I thank God this is 9 mana because...
Yeah, I think it has to be 9 mana.
Yeah, because on turn 4, when you go Barnes into Yashiraj, pulling like Ragnaros or Yashiraj or something, like that is one of the most disappointing games you'll ever play in Hearthstone.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole caveat to like legendary spells being a thing is that if they're going to make them this powerful... they have to make them cost a lot, because if they don't, like say this costed like 5 or something, like games are just going to be over based off of who draws their legendary spell first, which is I don't know. That's not that fun to me. So I think they have to make them very high-costed cards if they're going to be this powerful. And
because you can have some counterplay to this too, right? Where you have to have other things set up along with this card to OTK, where it's like, okay, my opponent needs to have double Mind Blast in hand or triple Mind Blast even to kill me. So like you can start playing around that maybe if your druids start armoring up. Like you know that this is coming, so maybe you do some other stuff that maybe you give your opponent some minions, fill their board up so that they can't put stuff out on the board. You know, there's always little things that you can do.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be a really cool card to see what people come up with, and I'm excited for it, honestly. There's even the transmute. It's a 3-mana card that makes a copy of a minion, so like if you have Radiant Elementals that get pulled, you can make copies of stuff for free, and it's going to be nutty. And I'm excited for what people come up with for this card, and also very scared at the same time, because that's not going to be fun.
Yeah, so
it's too good.
So let's talk about the other priest card that we wanted to talk about here. Omega Medic, which is a 3-mana, 3-attack, 4-health minion. With a battle cry, if you have 10 mana crystals, restore 10 health to your hero. Ray, you seem pretty excited about this one. Why is that?
Well, I'm excited for this card because I really like the Omega mechanic, which is if you have 10 mana crystals, it has an effect. This card specifically, though, it heals 10 health on turn 10. Like, it scales so well for like what you want in a control priest. Like, I don't know, it just feels right. And it's also a 3-mana 3/4. So if you're playing against aggro and you know you're not going to make it to turn 10, you just play it on turn 3 and it's actually a decent body. Like, I don't know, I just feel like this card is very well designed. And I like the fact that they're making cards that scale well into the late game, but also aren't completely terrible early game. There are some cards like, I don't know, like some of the Echo cards from last set where they were just so bad if you have them like early game, just because they just don't do enough. They don't have enough value on their own if you like play them by themselves. But these cards, these like their late game effect is like very good, and they're decent on their own early game. It's not like if this is like a 3-mana like 2/2 or something, like it'd be way worse. But like a 3-mana 3/4, that's just like good stats for something that can contest the board in the early game and also just be a very strong card late game to help you survive and stabilize.
People are even playing Amalgam Rager just as a 3-mana 3/4 that synergizes with whatever tribal tag you're having. So 3-mana 3/4 is really good in the standard metagame at the moment. So like you're going to be able to contest board fairly well. And I definitely think that Blizzard's doing a good job with the Omega mechanic, just making the minions playable if you have to play them on curve. And it's not like a punishment. Like the Omega effect is an add-on. It's not like subtracting from the card at all on those lower level mana slots.
Yeah, I think that the effect is just really well designed. And honestly, from my point of view, everything that's been revealed so far, I just really enjoy it. So I'm excited. I think that the game is going to become a lot more fun for me personally. Not that it's bad right now. I just think it's getting a little stale. And these cards are definitely different from what we've normally seen from the team.
Yeah, I feel like the crossover from Kobolds and Catacombs to Witchwood, like it didn't feel like there was much of a huge shift in the meta. And I feel like with this set, there will be.
Yeah, I mean, the Witchwood was honestly one of the least impactful sets for me. Like, I mean, they obviously added a lot of things, like even odd decks were a thing now, and Shudderwalk. Like, it added new archetypes, but for some reason, the game just didn't feel different.
Right.
Like, Cube Block is literally the same 30 cards that it was pre-Witchwood, and I don't know. I don't know why it just... Maybe it's just because we've been in this meta for a while as well. But it's just not exciting to me right now. And these cards are different designs. Like, they're going out of the box.
You're not getting pigeonholed into any current archetypes, which is... And the power level of these cards, like, they're good power level right now. So
yeah,
it's interesting. There's so many possibilities with this. Whereas I feel for Witchwood, a lot of the times the cards just compared to previous sets, just power level was a little bit low. And I feel that just looking at a lot of the stuff here, there are a lot of applications for some of these cards that really haven't been tested yet.
And the effects from the Witchwood for me just weren't really that exciting. Like Rush as a mechanic is something that was one of those things where like, you know, it's going to happen eventually because every card game has like a Rush mechanic. And I don't know, it just wasn't exciting. Like it felt very vanilla to me. Obviously, I feel like it had to happen at some point just to get the keyword into the game, but it wasn't like the Omega cards where it's just like something super awesome happens once you hit turn 10. Like Rush just felt very plain.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next card, I'm gonna jump down here to Warrior. And we've got a new hero card this set as well. And and it's four Warrior, and it's Dr. Boom, Mad Genius, which costs 7 mana. This one's a little bit different than the others that we've had, for a couple different reasons. The first reason is because it gives you 7 armor instead of 5.
Ray called it.
Yeah, I thought that was
Ray was a big proponent of saying, hey, maybe you should give him different armor amounts.
Dude, right. I literally told Ben Brode, like, I literally preached that to, like, when I had the interview with Ben Brode, like, oh my god, I was like, when you showed me Hagatha, I was like, bro, why do they always have to have 5 armor? This makes no sense to me.
Do you think Ben Brode during that interview was like, oh, just wait until next expansion?
No. I mean,
internally, he probably was thinking that, right? He's like, oh yeah, we're doing that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I just think it's funny. I love it. Like, it makes so much sense to me. Like, it made no sense to me that, like, every hero just gave you a static 5 armor. That really, I don't know why it triggered me, but it just never made sense to me. And I'm really happy to see that they're scaling armor for the hero cards now.
Yeah, and it's battle cry is for the rest of the game, your mechs have rush. So this is similar to Frost Lich Jaina, where your elementals get lifesteal, except in this case, your mechs get rush. But the thing that is different on this hero than the others is you get a bunch of hero powers, which cycle randomly between 5 different options. And you start out with what's called the big red button. And these are
no, you don't get the big red button. That's just what you've seen the collection. You switch between the other 5.
Okay. I was misreading. I didn't actually get to see how this was played. So but basically the big red button activates this turn's mech suit power. So the 5 that you cycle through then are all 2 mana. The first one is Micro Squad. Summon 3/1/1 microbots, swaps each turn. They all say swaps each turn at the end. Zap Cannon deals 3 damage. Blast Shield gains 7 armor. Kaboom, deal 1 damage to all enemies. And the final one is Delivery Drone. You get a Discovery mech.
Yeah, I think that this card is going to be very good, honestly. Yeah.
Just a quick aside for the micro squad, when you make the 3 microbots, because they are mechs, they do have rush from your battle cry. So it's actually a lot more powerful than you originally thought. I was looking through these and I was like, dang, the 3/1/1 microbots is going to be a really crappy one. I'm not going to be happy to get it. But then I realized that they're going to have rush, and that's actually fairly significant.
Yeah.
Something that's really interesting to me is Blackwald Pixie with this card. Just, I don't think it's going to be played because I don't think it's enough value. Like, it's barely even played in Quest Warrior, but it could be interesting, especially if you play, like, I don't know, if you played it in, like, just, like, the potential to just do wacky things, man, with this card. And the hero power don't, like, so swap at the end of each turn, so if you have Micro Squad as your hero power and you just like hero power and then you play Blackwald Pixie and then you hero power again, like you have 7 minions on the board, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So it just feels like a lot of value.
Something I just thought about as I'm looking at this card, and I'm probably not the first one that's ever thought of this. I'm sure I'm probably the last one that saw this now. I just didn't realize he is actually a 7 mana, 7 armor. He's a 7/7.
Yes.
Yep.
He's Dr. Boom, bro.
Yep.
He's Dr. 7.
Yep.
What is Dr. Boom without massive amounts of RNG?
And 7/7/7. You hit the jackpot.
Yep.
It's a 7 mana, 7 armor. Something that's interesting to me is that Fibonacci actually tweeted that this card is definitely going to see play because it is a very strong warrior card, but he thinks it'll also see play with like Garrosh and the other hero card for warrior. So
that transition, which do you want to play first?
I think it's situational depending on the matchup. Like against aggro, you always just go with Garrosh because that just single-handedly beats like every single aggro deck. But this card is just going to be really good against control and anything that's not hyper aggressive. Being able to do something that's not armor up against control, like if you can make 3/1/1s every turn, or not every turn, but like a turn and then do something else, or like being able to discover a mech against like in a control mirror, that's pretty good. That's like that's just value.
Rush too.
I think the rush effect of it is pretty irrelevant, honestly. Like that's the least exciting part about the card is the fact that it gives your mechs rush. The hero powers, it's just value compared to armor up.
Yeah. It also opens up the deck with multiple heroes. And, like, you didn't really see that too much with Hagatha and the Shaman one because they really are at odds with each other. But you can definitely run the two Death Knights. It'll be very interesting seeing play where now you have to consider, oh, he changes hero once, he can change it again. It's going to open up a lot more gameplay options.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We had that dynamic a little bit when like with Quest Warrior, because Quest Warrior plays Garrosh, the Death Knight, where like if you get the Ragnaros hero power, and then like you all of a sudden you can't play the Death Knight anymore because you can't get rid of your Rag hero power. So like sometimes people would wait a turn to get their Ragnaros hero power so they could play the Death Knight and get some weapon value in. That was like a sort of a thing, but with Dr. Boom Mad Genius plus Garrosh, that's going to be interesting to see how games play out when you have both of them.
Yeah. So the next card that we're going to talk about is a mage spell epic that costs 4 mana, and it's called Unexpected Results. And this is probably my favorite card that I've seen revealed so far, and I'll explain why in a minute. But the card does summon 2 random, 2-cost minions. This isn't the card I was thinking. I'm sorry. It is an interesting card. Summon 2 random, 2-cost minions, improved by spell damage. And what that means is if you have a minion out there with like a +1 spell damage to it, you're going to summon 2 random, 3-cost minions. Is that correct?
The number is the thing that changes. During the stream, Peter Whalen said, typically it's the number that changes, so you can like have the little asterisk and then the number. So if there's ever something that's going to be affected by spell damage, it's the number that's the physical number rather than the word that'll get changed on the card.
Yeah. So if you have if you have like Malygos out there,
you're making. Like 7, no, you're making, are you making 8 drops?
You're making 7 drops, I believe.
7 drops.
Malygos is +6.
It's right? 5.
Oh, right, it's 5. Okay, Moonfire does 6. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So you're making 7 drops.
Yep.
But, I don't know, it's going to be interesting because cards like I think it's called Spellweaver, it's like the 1/4 that changes into a 4/1 that has spell power, maybe like the demon card, the 07 with spell power, just like random cards that have spell power just might all of a sudden be good now because you can play like 2-drop, 3-drop into like unexpected results for multiple 4-drops. Like getting 2 4-drops on for 4 mana,
that's pretty big
on turn 4 is like crazy.
Yeah that's like that's almost
how you
game
build
winner.
A deck too, because like this doesn't slot easily into anything that's currently around, but it's definitely really strong.
I don't know. Like, I feel like you can play a few spell power cards and then just play this card because as a 4-mana summon 2 random 2-cost minions, that might not even be bad for a tempo mage deck. Like, that might just not be that bad. I'm not sure.
It's a slightly worse call to arms.
Yeah. you do have the... With that, though, you do have the chance of getting a Doomsayer, though.
You're right. 2 mana, destroy your whole board.
Yep.
Seems good. I feel like it's going to be similar to Arcane Blast, where people... Like, that card was still very good on its own, but, like, with spell power, it was just, like, better. I feel like this is going to be pretty similar. Or it might just end up being bad. It's going to be one or the other. It's either going to be really good or just bad.
I feel like you can say that about every card, right? It's either going to be really good or really bad.
I guess. Yeah. You have a point.
All right. Now I want to move on to the card that I believe that... Yeah, this is the card that I was... is probably... my favorite card of the set so far, and that's the Warlock spell. It's a common for 2 mana, Demonic Project. Each player transforms a random minion in their hand into a demon. And the reason why I love this card so much is its hand disruption against your opponent, or any kind of disruption against your, you know, like think of Dirty Rat. That it's this isn't as good as Dirty Rat, in my opinion, not even close.
Yeah.
But the whole hand disruption idea, I love it. I love it. If your opponent, if you know your opponent's holding a Shudderwalk, guess what? You can play this and possibly screw them up if they don't have any other minions in their hand.
It's a pseudo Dirty Rat.
Yeah, Dirty Rat's so much better, though. So much
better. It doesn't help against aggro is the one thing. If you're playing against aggro, you can use the 2 mana, 2/6 as a pretty fair body. But...
Yeah, the 2/6 body for 2 mana is awesome.
But what about the possibility of transforming one of your bad minions into a Doomguard?
If you're playing Control Warlock, I think I like the cards I put in my deck.
No, dude. Think about it. Like, you play your hand and then... You transform your Doomsayers and Cabal Lackeys into good demons that just... No, I don't know. I think that this card is going to see some play, though, just because of the fact that it can completely break combos apart.
Yep.
Like, Mally Ghost Druid and stuff like that can just be neutered by this card single-handedly. So I think it'll see play, especially in tournaments, as a way to have counter play. But, like you said, it's... not as good as Dirty Rap, but I'm still excited that this card is printed, especially at a common slot. Like, for a common card in a set, this is very good. Like, this is something that can see play. It's not too powerful, and it's just interesting. Like, it gets me excited about the set.
Yeah, it seems like a tech choice on if you're seeing any kind of combo that's relying on like a late game minion or something like that. Would you tech this in with like Sacrificial Pact? No.
That would be interesting, actually. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
I don't think so. But it's maybe.
From a wild perspective, this opens up some possibilities too, because in Reno decks, you're always at this point you pretty much have to play a Dirty Rat in wild. But sometimes you're like, man, I wish I could play 2 Dirty Rats in this deck, and now. Like, this has the functionality of being a second Dirty Rat. So this really starts building to the wild format of just having so many cards that the consistency, if you want an effect, you can run multiple copies of that effect, even though they're different cards, and get consistency in Reno decks.
Right.
So I'm excited about that.
Or in Control Warlock in wild, you can have 4 Dirty Rats, and no combos are ever going to go off.
I mean, not only that, but you got Nofratu, which...
Yeah, Nofratu actually won a handful of games throughout the wild tournament that we had. You have the everyone's running Bran and Zola in Reno Lock. So you had on turn 10, you play Bran and then Zola on the Nofratu that comes down, and you end up milling 4 cards from your opponent.
Yeah. Ooh, that's spicy.
Yeah. So, I mean, just with that, like it seems like in wild, like Warlock's going to get some. Fun ways to really mess with other people's hands in their deck.
Yeah, it's exciting.
That's pretty cool.
It's actually a lot of fun for wild because we have a lot of extra mech synergies. So one of the things that I'm always going into expansions being like, hey, these cards are mediocre, but it's like the additional synergy from the set makes me evaluate cards maybe a little bit differently than everyone else, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's, I hadn't thought about that, but that's true. So the next card is a paladin, and it's the paladin legendary spell called Kangor's Endless Army. And it's a 7-mana spell. It says, resurrect 3 friendly mechs. They keep any magnetic upgrades. So if you buffed any of those mechs, they keep those upgrades.
Ooh. So any mech can happen, boys. Any mech can happen.
Oh, my God.
Think about it.
Yeah.
This could be insane. This is like, I mean, obviously all the...
7-mana? Like, this is crazy.
All the mech cards haven't been revealed, but I mean, like... It comes back with any of their upgrades, so like you effectively have 3 like super minions, like, or just like big boys, right? Like, they're probably going to be big because they're going to be buffed most of the time. I don't know. This just seems like a really, really good late game card. Yeah. And if they want to push magnetic as a mechanic for a specific archetype, which it seems like they are obviously doing for paladin, like, this is one of the end game cards that they're definitely going to need. It might not be as strong as anything can happen, especially since it's a legendary, so you can only play one, but I don't know, man.
I think it's pretty cool, too, that it's specifically mechs, so you can run, like, small other minions as well, and then, play the mechs specifically as big ones. Because I was afraid that maybe you just go in mech paladin and you run a bunch of really small ones and you run the risk of pulling back maybe an Annoyotron or something, but now the way you're gonna have to build your deck is going to be very similar to how anything can happen worked, where it's like, oh, I'm only playing the ones that have this OTK, but I mean, like, right. In this situation, it's gonna be only the ones that are really big,
right? I mean, that could happen though, where like there's not enough good magnetic cards or something, where like you have to play other mech cards that might dilute the pool. So depending on what gets released, this card might not be as good as I hope it's going to be, because it seems like a very fun card. I hope that you can build it in a way that you don't have to dilute your pool with like random mechs that you could accidentally summon besides a magnetic buffed one.
It could increase the power of smaller mechs though. Like a card like the Annoyo module, like the super Annoyotron. Like normally, like you would ignore that on board, right? If you're playing up against a paladin where it's like, I really don't care if you have a 2-mana 2/4 or a 4-mana 4/2/4 on board, but like that could be buffed up with magnetic and turned into something that will come back later on. So it makes every small mech a, I need to remove this in paladin.
Actually, one thing I'm curious about, I don't know if you guys know, is whether or not like when they fuse, does the mech technically die that fuses? Because that would be a big deal as well.
I don't believe that dies. It's kind of like it turns into a spell and then gets attached on, because it could be silenced off. Silence is huge this expansion if mechs are going to be.
That's true.
If this whole magnetic synergy is going to be there. So expect to bring out your Iron Beak Owls and Spellbreakers, everyone.
Actually, I wonder if this card might be played like without magnetic in mind. So say we get like a giant mech, like a Sneed's Old Shredder type of mech or something like that. Like, you could just play 3 really strong mechs.
Yeah, I think that's what you want to do. Yeah. You might do that.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Either way, this card, Kangor's Endless Army, is Kangor's Endless Fun Times.
So you know they're going to print support for it, right? They're not just going to print this card and be like, sucks to be you guys, we're not printing any big mechs. They got to print something to support the card. So I'm really excited to see what that is.
Oh, yeah. There's no way this whole Dr. Boom set has no giant mechs. It's like, no, just big boys. There's no way. Like, it's just not going to happen. I'll dust my whole collection if that's the case.
Ooh. We're going to hold you to that, Ray.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm kidding. I'm not... Oh, God.
I have a recording of that. So anyway, so it seems like Mech Paladin might be a thing upcoming.
Also said throughout the expansion that the mech classes are specifically going to be Paladin, Warrior, and Hunter. So the mechs are going to be majorly focused in those classes, and in the neutral set. So while there's, I think there's a priest one that's a mech as well, but the majority of the mechs will be in those classes. So the Grimy Goons finally got something.
The Grimy Goons finally got something.
Oh my gosh.
Like 2 years.
Press F to pay respects to Mech Mage.
Oh, so the next card is rather interesting. And this is something. So it's a neutral legendary, 4 mana, 4 attack, 5 health. Whiz bang the wonderful. You start the game with one of Whiz bang's wonderful decks.
Oh baby, I'm excited for this card. Well, not like from a competitive point of view, because obviously what this card does when it, what a wonderful deck is, one of the recipe decks that they have for either class. So each class has 3 recipe decks, I believe, and one of those decks is what Whiz Bang the Wonderful gives you. So, you know, I'm just excited for Whiz Bang the Wonderful tournaments. Like, you just have 3-4 deck, 1 ban conquest, 1 Whiz Bang the Wonderful tournament. That's it. That's what I'm excited for.
Maybe everyone's gonna know the deck lists now for the deck recipes, because I don't know any of them right now, right? But by the end of this expansion, you're gonna know them pretty well, just based off of running into people when you're climbing up on ladder in the early start of the season.
I don't know about you, but I definitely know every card.
Do you know?
I do. I've played Totally Totems many times in ranked.
That's
what happens when you stream, man. Sometimes you just play Totally Totems.
Didn't someone make a bet on Reddit with this card, or say something like if anybody ever hits legend with Whiz Bang the Wonderful, they're gonna do something. I don't remember what that something is.
Probably now. There's probably a lot of Whiz Bang bets going around right now. Yeah. I think people are like,
it's not that hard to hit legend with Whiz Bang.
We don't know that.
Are you gonna hit legend with Whiz Bang, Ray?
I mean, maybe we'll see how much time I have. We'll see.
Here's what you do: you get all the way up to rank 2 legend, and you queue the game for rank 1 with Whiz Bang.
Oh my god, I would be a god if I did that in 1.
Like, that would be amazing. Rank 1.
I would break the internet, dude. I would break the internet with Whiz Bang the Wonderful. That would be amazing. That would be wonderful.
So I mean, this is just our typical meme legendary that you get every set then.
Yeah, but this is like a good meme. Like, the other memes were like okay, like average, mediocre, probably bad, but like this is fun. Like, this is a whole new format. This is literally a format. Like, this one card is just a format in itself.
So,
like,
so is our first Well Met tournament gonna be a Whiz Bang tournament?
Honestly, honestly, I think that we should do that. That would actually be very fun. I would do that. I would definitely want to do that. I don't know. Maybe you guys can email us and tell us if you would participate in a Whiz Bang the Wonderful tournament. But I think that would be a lot of fun. I really want to do that. I think I'm going to do that either way. Whether or not we do it for Well Met, like, I want to do that at some point. Just a Whiz Bang the Wonderful tournament.
Yeah, maybe we'll just do a Whiz Bang tournament, and just even if we don't hit our patron goal, just do it. Just do one anyway. We'll just do one.
Do it for the memes.
Do it for the memes. So
do it for Vine.
So
this is really good for beginner players too, right? Yeah. Like, you don't have any cards and you craft one legendary, and then all of a sudden you have access to 18 decks. Like, yeah, it's the most bang for your buck that you can do in Hearthstone.
Magic the Gathering Online actually has a thing like this where it's called Momir. It's a format where every card you play is a land. Like, every card you draw and every card you play is a land. And whenever you play a card, it's just, like, random based on the amount of cost that you paid. So in Hearthstone, it would be, like, you play a card from your hand if you have 3 mana, and it just becomes a random 3 mana card, like minion or spell or whatever.
Interesting. So the next card was a Druid Legendary Minion. And you guys were pretty excited for this. I don't know if you were more excited for the effect or more excited for the name. But it was four mana, three attack, four health. The name is Flubidinous Floop. I have no idea.
Flubidinous Floop.
Glorious
Floop.
Flubidinous
Flubbity Floop.
Flubbity Floop. Flubbity Scoopity Poop.
Anyway, just Floop. While in your hand, this is a 3/4 copy of the last minion you played. And Ray, why are you excited about this?
I mean, I'm excited for the name. I'm more scared for the actual text on the card, to be honest. So picture this, Maligos. You're playing a Maligos deck. Take a vanilla Maligos Druid from this format. But add this card into your deck. You have both Maligos and this card in your hand. You play Maligos on turn 9, and whatever, it dies. But now, this Flubidinous Floop, it says, well, in your hand, this is a 3/4 copy of the last minion that you played. It also stays at 4 mana. So now this card is a 4 mana, 3/4 Maligos, if you played Maligos. So on turn 9, you play Maligos. Flubidinous Floop transforms into Maligos, and then on your turn 10, you have a 4 mana Maligos in your hand. That's scary. That is frightening.
What if you have a Tree of Life available and gain 10 more mana crystals after you play Maligos?
You mean Trigger of the World Tree?
Yes, that thing.
Oh my god. I mean, well, at that point, it's like, you're already winning. But Forbiddenous Floop, like, this just makes that deck so much more explosive and more consistent. And that's just so scary, man. Like, you can go Maligos, double Moonfire, and then next turn you can play a 4 mana 3/4 Maligos, and then, like, double swipe.
Man, that sounds like that. Yeah, that sounds like it would give me explosive Flubidinous Floop.
What?
I said that sounds like it would give me explosive Flubidinous Floop.
Explosive Flubidinous Floop? Oh, gosh.
You said it would be explosive, so.
It's gonna be explosive. You're gonna have an explosive Flubidinous Floop.
Yeah, when that's done to me, I will definitely have explosive Flubidinous Floop when it's all said and done.
Do you have to go to the bathroom right now, JR?
No, I'm good. I'm good right now. But okay. When I'm playing this druid, we'll have to see.
Oh boy.
I'm really excited to see this in a wild too, because Balagos Druid's currently the third best combo or at least controlling druid deck. So this will start pushing it up towards one. Isn't it like number one in standard at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it might not be number one based off of stats, because the deck's actually pretty difficult to play optimally. But amongst pros, I think Maligos is definitely like tier one, like top two. Probably best deck, yeah. And this card, I mean, the other druid cards that have been revealed are all so mediocre, besides maybe Biology Project. But I don't know, man. This is just scary, like, making the best deck better.
Well, maybe they have to, right? Because maybe the power level of all the other decks is just going to go up. So it's like Maligos is a combo deck, and it was going to be behind anyway. So now you got to put it back up and add an extra thing to it as well.
I guess, but the thing that's, like, exciting to me about new sets is, like, having new archetypes. And in my opinion, it feels like this isn't going to create a new archetype for Druid. It's just going to make the current one better. And
sure, there's not going to be some random cube thing that pops up.
I mean, there might be, but like, they're pushing Treant for Druid. Like, I don't believe there's going to be a Treant archetype, but who knows?
Though, because yeah, like, Token Druid does play Treants, and like, Blizzard didn't know about Token Druid going into Witchwood. Because Witchwood, like, Token Druid became something maybe halfway through. And, like, by the time, like, the deck became a thing, all these Treant cards had already gone through final production. So I have a feeling that there may be some other Treant cards that get released that are relatively strong and, like, with Token Druid already, like, running Soul of the Forest, like, might be able to capitalize with some of these cards and be fairly strong.
That's true. That's a possibility. I guess it's actually kind of exciting, but yeah. I feel like it's going to be outclassed by Maligos, because, I mean, It's just so strong with Fuglin.
The core of Druid is just so strong, though. You look at Wild, and we're running, and there's like three control combo archetypes that are like
the core of Druid: Wild, Growth, and Nourish. The core of Druid. Those two cards alone.
I mean, Branching Paths is fantastic. You have the Howl card. Ferocious Howl is very, very good, and Malfurion is just busted. So
you right. But now we got Floop. I'm excited for the name, though. There's also, like, Floop's Florious Goop. Like, come on. That's just the best name ever.
That's pretty good.
We don't know what that does yet, right? That's a card coming out?
Yeah, I don't think that's, like... I don't think we know what it does yet, but... Either way, the name, man. The names are just on point.
Yeah. Yep. So, the next neutral legendary that's coming up is another minion called Zilliax, and it's a 3/2 mech that says it's got magnetic, it has divine shield, it has taunt, it has lifesteal, it has rush. So basically you're playing this for the magnetic effect. I'm assuming if you're playing this, you're probably playing it with Paladin. But it's
1 mana too expensive for my super OTK in Wild, where you do Glinda and then play a crap ton of Mech Warpers, and then if there's a 4 mana magnetic minion in the neutral set, that you have essentially an Exodia if you're able to stick a mech on board. So I was really pissed that this is 5 mana.
And they probably did that on purpose.
I bet they did. I bet that there's not going to be a magnetic minion in the neutral set that's 4 or less.
Like you said, this is probably a Paladin card, because getting a Zilliax back off of the 7-mana card, the legendary Paladin spell. Oh my god, I'm blanking on the name already. Kangor's Endless Army. If you get, say, like, you make, like, a 5-5 even, like, Divine Shield, Taunt, Lifesteal, Rush, and you get that back off of it, that's really strong still. Like, an immediate effect, like an immediate answer to like a board or something. I don't know. I think this card is going to see play in Paladin if like a mech archetype is viable, but I think it's too slow in any of the other classes so far. Maybe it'll be good in something else if like they reveal something, but right now I think it's just a bit too slow, and Rush is just like more of a defensive mechanic than offensive. Like if it was charge, I think that this card would be nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this would be a busted card if this was charge.
But like Rush, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't excite me too much. And it makes me think it's gonna be limited to Paladin, but we'll see.
Yep. So the other the next card we're down to the last few here. Is the Mage legendary minion. Stargazer Luna. She is a 3 mana, 2 attack, 4 health. After you play the rightmost card in your hand, draw a card. So this is basically top deck city at this point.
Top deck city.
When you only got one card in your hand, it's always the rightmost.
That's smart. True.
Oh, that's wow. True.
Points to temple.
Next level.
Points to temple. Yep.
I'm scared of this card, man. Like I'm picturing like a Burn Mage where they just play this card, double Sorcerer's Apprentice, and just play the whole, like, play off the top, like, the top 10 cards of their deck and just kill you somehow. Like, I'm gonna have nightmares of that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to play this with Flame Waker and Arcane Missiles and Wild.
Geez. This is gonna be,
like, the most busted tempo mage. Like, we're currently running the secret package, but you cut all the secrets and go all in on Flame Waker.
Yeah, they need to be really careful about what mage spells they're gonna print. They printed Unexpected Results, but that doesn't count because it's not cheap. Like, cheap mage spells, if they do damage, like, that's going to be scary. Like, they need to check that. Like, if they print something, like, another type of Arcane Missiles card, like, oof.
Yeah.
Or just, like, anything that does damage for cheap, it's going to be scary.
Yep. Yeah, this is one of those cards that right now, like, it doesn't feel like I would play it. Or super powerful, but it's one of those cards that like could really be broken.
I don't know. I feel like this card is immediately playable for me in my mind. Like, it slots in so nicely to archetypes that already exist, like Secret Mage or just like some type of Burn Mage. It feels like there's not much that you have to really do to be able to play this card. And even if it's not going to like be insane, even if you play it on like turn five with a Frostbolt from the most right in your hand and it cycles itself, like, that's still pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess.
It's going to have a really big wild impact. So you can tell the power level of a card if you just based off of all the other cards in the past, it's going to be a dangerous card to play with.
Yeah.
I mean, cards that are able to draw you cards are just generally something to watch out for.
It's true. That's true. It's like a Miracle Rogue, I guess. Now we've got Miracle Mage. So
I think Admirable has like a checklist of like a card's potential of being broken, and it's like if it can draw a lot of cards, cheat the mana system, or like cost less somehow. Like if it can be free, like Corridor Creeper was, or draw lots of cards, or just do stuff like that, then you gotta watch out for it.
That's true, because if you think of cards that they've nerfed and things like that, it usually revolves around charge, drawing cards, making cards cheaper, or being able to play like free spells or you know, things like that. So yeah that's true. That is makes true sense. So Rogue has a legendary spell.
Speaking of drawing cards.
Speaking of drawing cards.
Yeah.
That's a good segue.
It's a 5-mana spell called Myra's Unstable Element. Draw the rest of your deck. What?
Wasn't this like a meme card custom Hearthstone like a year ago?
Probably.
Maybe.
Draw the rest of your deck. So I guess you want to play a late game. I
mean, this is like some type of combo shenanigans going on here.
Yeah, it's got to be.
You want to see something? I've already had my gears start turning with this card. I'm currently looking at the other Rogue card that's been released, the Lab Recruiter, which is gang up on a stick. And now you can go infinite in Rogue with two Lab Recruiters because you Lab Recruiter your Lab Recruiter, and you consistently are able to put three copies of it into your deck. So you Unstable Element and get rid of your entire deck and then just keep putting Lab Recruiters in it.
Or you can make, like you can use Lab Recruiter to copy something like the Nerubian card. Oh my god, I'm drawing a blank again. The 4-mana 4/4. You know what I'm talking about, right?
It's not the Unraveler, it's the...
It's the one that makes...
Yeah, the Strider.
Yeah.
Strider, yeah. Like, this card seems insane with Strider. Even if... Like, you play Striders beforehand, like, you're automatically getting them, right? Like, you're automatically getting the 4/4s. Like, you're just getting a board for a 4/4s. And then if you hold one in your hand with a Lab Recruiter, you can Lab Recruiter your Lab Recruiter and then start Lab Recruitering your 4/4s.
Yeah.
The big thing about this card,
Lab Recruiters all the way down.
It's not that bad, even just in Odd Rogue. Because Odd Rogue, one of the biggest issues you run into, because Odd Rogue's really good and wild right now. One of the big things that you start seeing is that the games that you lose is because you run out of threats. So at some point, it's kind of like a Lunith in Mage and like any of the tempo mages where it's like, okay, I've ran out of cards. I'm going to draw 10 cards out of my deck, start taking fatigue, but I don't care because now I have a ton of threats.
Like, your life total just doesn't matter. Like,
you
just get so much stuff that you just end up killing them. I feel like there's also going to be some type of crazy combos with this as well, where you just draw, like, you guarantee yourself drawing certain things, where, I don't know, it just seems like a Kingsbane Rogue is one thing I was thinking of. Like, once you get Valyra, like, you just guarantee yourself that you draw, like, your buffs for your weapon, and then you can just do things like Lab Recruiter and Kingsbane Rogue and just... Or Kingsbane, just make sure you never fatigue. I don't know. It seems like it's going to be pretty nutty if it ends up being consistent.
There's a change to Shadow Essence, too. So your Kingsbane becomes, I think that it with the Shadow Essence, it now retains all its buffs. So, like, if you get a King's Bane shuffled back into your deck and then you replay it, and then you play it again, you're going to have two with, like, whatever the buffed attack is.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And, like, with the Labyrinth Creator, you can shuffle your buff minions in as well. So, like, not only are you not fatiguing because you're drawing weapons, but now you're also able to draw weapon buffs, because that's all that's left in your deck at that point, which is, I don't know, that's just scary to me, but the possibilities. But yeah. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
If this card ends up being, like, maybe it'll be too slow, like, these combo decks will just end up dying to some aggro decks that end up popping up. Yeah. We'll see.
Seems like
the first 3 days before people start playing aggro, though.
Yeah. It's usually how it goes, right? Like, people give you, like, a day or two to have fun, and then they switch back to just playing the try-hard decks.
Yeah. That's one of the things, though. You don't really start seeing the refined aggro decks till later on. They're always the aggro decks from the previous expansion. Like, we didn't see the Heal Zoo for, what, 3 months into the expansion?
I don't think we would have ever seen the Heal Zoo if that one person didn't do well with it.
Yeah.
Which is super interesting, because, like, Happy Ghoul is one of those cards that is just, like, on the radar because it can be zero mana, and nobody found a use for it until very recently. Yeah. Like, that's surprising to me.
To me, this card seems like a meme deck. I don't know. I'm sure someone will try to find a use for it, but it just seems like a meme to me.
I'm going to try this day one. I think that this is what I want to do day one. Something with Myra.
All right.
I don't know what I want to do day one yet, but...
Yeah, we don't have a big enough perspective yet.
Yeah, I don't know yet. We'll see. Maybe I'll just play Control Warrior, play Dr. Boom.
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
So the next card is the Shaman Legendary Minion, Electra Storm Surge. It's a 3-mana, 3-attack, 3-health elemental. With Battle Cry, your next spell this turn casts twice. And tonight was the first time I've seen this card. I know it's been revealed a while back. I have a couple questions about this that you guys might be able to answer, because I don't know how this fully works. Does this cast twice on the target, on the same target that I had? Or is the second cast... Okay. I didn't know if it was the second cast was, like, random or something like that. Does this stack with Shudderwalk? Like, multiple times?
I don't.
It's kind of, I think it's like Bran, right? Where it's
This is like a Bran.
Okay, so you're only still gonna get the two, no matter what, and not like five or six or some insane amount.
Yeah, it casts twice, not double.
Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like that would be.
It does also double overload you if you lava burst your opponent in the face. So that is a thing.
And it casts on the same target. It's not like random or anything the second time. It's like if you lava burst them in the face, they're taking 10 and you're overloading for 4. It's not like you deal 5 to the face and then the second one's random or something weird like that.
I was going to say if this was able to stack multiple times, well, Shudderwalk would be completely broken.
I mean, think about like this card with anything in aggro, like Bloodlust for +6?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Or just like this card with Lightning Bolt is even good. That's 6 damage, Lava Burst, 10 damage.
Yep.
Like
Crackle, 12.
The downside card to it is that it's like a 3-mana 3/3, which means it's pretty much dead until you end up using it as a finisher. So it's a pseudo Leroy. It kind of feels like a Leroy in an aggro deck in some sense, but
it's also not even, so like even Shaman is typically where you'd want to get that extra burst.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is wild because you have Crackle and Jay Lightning, but
yeah, I mean for us we only have Lightning Bolt, Lava Burst, and like most of our damage is odd anyways. But I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see stuff like Evolve. I don't know. Maybe like this with Evolve could be really cool too. Just like card Evolve. There's a lot of. I think this is just a good card. Like, this is just a good card.
No,
even if it doesn't see play, it's still just a good card, as weird as that sounds.
I think you put this in every deck except for Even Shaman, because you can't.
it can't
I guess.
this card can't put it in there if you want to.
Actually, that's true. Like, if you put this in Shudderwalk, like, Electra Storm Surge plus Healing Rain is basically Reno Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah, and then if you need to clear a board, right, you play this, and then, like, an emergency, you can play it with Volcano or something, and you guarantee a board clear.
Yeah, no, this is just a good card.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is like the auto-include legendary for Shaman, which is great because we've had so many bad legendaries in Shaman.
Yep.
I don't want to be playing any freeze Shaman anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, dude, that flopped so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that is one of the decks though for
Baby Whizbang.
For Whizbang.
Oh geez.
Get ready to play some freeze Shaman on ladder.
I'm ready, boy.
So let's go back to Mage real quick. We had a couple more cards that we kind of skipped over to see how time was doing. I think we've got time to talk about these last two. We've got a Mage card here that's a minion, an epic minion. It costs 7 mana. It's called Astromancer. It's got 5 attack, 5 health. The battle cry, summon a random minion with cost equal to your hand size.
I mean, this is like that meme where like you have the guy with the glasses and the glasses aren't on and then they go on and then it's like a different picture. So like when the glasses are off, you see Spiteful Summoner. And then when he puts the glasses on, it's Astromancer.
Yeah.
Because that's a good one. They remind me of the same thing.
Yep. Ah,
I can play Frostbolt with this one. That's the good thing, right? Yeah. Now I can play Frostbolt my small spells.
Yeah, this is true. This is the not Spiteful Summoner.
I mean, they're kind of pushing like Hand Mage because they made Mountain Giant an elemental. So like they're kind of pushing like big hand elemental mage type stuff where you play the book of specters plus a bunch of elementals and like almost no spells, and I think that this would fit perfectly into that kind of archetype because it's just a bomb. If your hand size is going to be relatively large the whole game,
yeah,
it's like I said, it's literally a Spiteful Summoner.
Yeah, and we've seen how powerful Spiteful Summoner was. Like this card has potential.
The question is whether or not it's too slow. Yeah, that's like the question.
Yep.
Is whether or not it's going to be too slow because, like you said, we have seen Spiteful Summoner be insane, but like now that it's nerfed, obviously it's not really seeing play anymore, and that leads me to believe that this card is probably going to be on the edge of either like seeing a lot of play because that archetype is going to be good, or just not being good enough. Like it'll be just like one turn too slow of being playable.
Well, part of the reason why Spiteful Summoner isn't seeing play is because you have to build your deck specifically around that, where it's like, now you can't play the cheap spells that'll help you in other matchups. And I think that even just being at 7 mana, having those cheap spells and being able to deal with things on board in the early game and not just be like a minion-based deck will really put this card ahead of Spiteful Summoner, especially in Mage. You're never going to, I mean, you never ran it
like, just as a 7 mana like card in Mage. I feel like this is an auto include in Bitcoin Mage.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wouldn't it be?
I mean, not that much room.
Maybe not, but you're sitting there like unless Bitcoin Mage has changed in the last month. But there's many, many times that I'm sitting there with a handful of spells, you know, just playing reaction to people, and you know, being able to plop one of those down and start getting pressure on the board.
I mean, maybe like the deck kind of turns into a more aggressive deck in some sense because you would end up cutting cards like Alana or Syndragosa or Alexstrasza.
Right.
Pretty much like all your top ends. Like you'd have to cut from that angle.
I don't think you'd have to cut too many. I mean,
you have to cut two, but like.
Right.
It comes down to whether or not you want to have pressure over value.
Yeah.
Because cards like Syndragosa are more value than this card. This card is going to be much better against something like Maligost Druid or any of the slower decks that are like more combo-oriented. Shudderwalk Shaman. This card is going to be very good against Shudderwalk Shaman comparatively to something like Syndragosa or maybe even Dragon Call Alana just because they're too slow.
So maybe it's just a tech choice then, based on what you're seeing.
It might be a more of like a meta thing. Like if Maligost Druid is like the nuts, this card would be better than something that's going to provide you more value. as opposed to pressure. Like, I think it's more of a metagame decision if you're trying to put it in the control mage.
Yeah. Interesting. So the final card that we have on here, and I have no idea why you put this on here, Ray, to be honest. It's a neutral rare minion, 5 mana. It's a 2/1 called Giggling Inventor. With a battle cry, summon 2/1/2 max with taunt and divine shield. So what?
Hello.
Summons two Annoyotrons. What's there not to like?
I didn't even see the picture there. It's even got a picture of a Annoyotron. I get it now.
What's there not to like? Are you hating on a Annoyotron, bro?
No, no, for 5 mana?
Surprisingly, I think that this card's going to be fairly good. If you run Call to Arms and Wild, we all run Annoyotrons in the list just as a defensive minion. And obviously this isn't pulling the Annoyotrons out of your deck, which is bad. But still, being able to generate a 2/1 and then two Annoyotrons on turn 5 in a class that's not Paladin is huge. So now you can have some aggressive deck. Like, this is going to be fairly good in those like mid-range style decks. So I definitely see this being a card that has a lot of potential.
Yeah, this card's just like good. It's like a lot of value for one card.
Maybe this is why I'm just not good at Hearthstone, because I look at this and I'm just like, I don't know. I like, to me it doesn't feel that good, but maybe when I start playing that, I'll see differently.
No, this card's just
a spectacular card, but it's definitely gonna be good enough to see play.
Yeah, it's just like a good card. And Mossy Horror is real happy to see this card be a thing.
Oh, man, like, if this
card's good, Mossy Horror, which is already one of my favorite cards, is gonna see a lot more play.
Yep. Get rid of that, and then you spent your 5 mana on nothing. So I think that's it. Is that all of them? Looks like all of them.
You?
Awesome. I think we're ready to get out of here. We did have some iTunes reviews when we were gone, which surprised me. We had a 5-star iTunes review. Ray, can you read that? Can you read that review there and tell us who it's from?
No. Hold.
You didn't have it open.
I do. It's from Will Hung 328. I enjoy learning from professional players and the way they approach the game. Awesome.
So who is 5 that?
5 stars, baby.
Who is that? You're telling me who that was.
That's William Hung, the poker extraordinaire, a.k.a. She Bangs, a.k.a. American Idol superstar. No, but William Hung, he plays Hearthstone. If you guys don't know who he is, look him up on YouTube. He's a really cool dude. I coached him a while back in Hearthstone, and then even before that, he played Pokemon. Like, he's an OG Pokemon player, like, way back in the day. So it's really cool to see people from kind of, like, other aspects, or, like, other worlds, like, kind of come together and play Hearthstone. And it's especially cool to hear that he listens to the podcast and enjoys it. So if you're listening to this, William, thank you for the review, and you're an awesome dude.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. If you guys would like to leave if you like the show and want to leave us a 5-star review, just head over to iTunes. Do a search there on podcast for Hearthstone. We'll pop up there. Hopefully, we haven't done a show in a while, so I think we're still there. But it would help us out quite a bit. Those things are worth their weight in gold. As I said earlier, we've changed our Patreon. If you want to join that, just head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. As I said, the $25 tier is the coaching tier now. So that will get you a hour session of coaching with the co-host of your choice.
Yes, and I am finally starting to get better. So I have a lot less doctor's appointments now. And hopefully next week I won't really be going to the doctors as much anymore. and I'll have a lot of free time, so my schedule will be more open, more flexible. And yeah, if you guys want coaching from any of us or me specifically, I'll just have a lot more time to do that.
Yep. And I'll be reaching out to patrons that need to get their coaching done this month, tonight, probably before they hear the show. So
yeah. And like I said, I just want to stress that, like, it wasn't us just like not wanting to do the podcast. It was physically unable. Like, I wanted to so badly talk about all the new Hearthstone things that have been going on.
Yeah, me too.
But I physically could not talk for almost a month because my throat was like literally closing. And this week I was actually in the ER because I like just straight up could barely breathe. So yeah, it wasn't really a, I'm not really feeling like doing the podcast. It was like, my body doesn't really feel like breathing today, so I got to fix that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We need you to get better, Ray.
I mean, I'm getting there.
Yeah, we need you to get better so we can complain that you're bad at card reviews.
Yep.
It just took a while, man. Like, the process, it's just annoying, you know? Like, but now we're good. I'm on the up. I'm on the mend. I'm getting better, and hopefully it continues that way. I can keep doing the podcast, keep doing Hearthstone, keep hopefully go to tournaments. Like, sitting out on tournaments, man, like sitting on the sidelines and watching your friends win, like, you get so jealous. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
yeah,
I was like, the fire, like, you have that fire. Like, when you're a competitive person, you just have that fire inside of you, and that fire was burning, man. I was like, I just want to play. And like, when you can't, when you physically just can't, it just kills you. Yeah. So I can't wait till I can travel to an event again.
Yeah, I want to see you compete. So get going. Get doing the thing. So shout outs, and how can people get in touch with you, Danny? Got any shout outs?
Not particularly. You know what? Let's do a shout out to Peter Whalen Chicken Form. So yeah, as of contacting me, you can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS. But yeah, Peter Whalen Chicken Form, funniest thing I've seen that Hearthstone's put out for a bit.
All right, I do not know the reference, so I'm gonna go have to check that out now.
Oh yeah, you're gonna like it.
Yeah. Ray, how about you? Any shout outs, and how can people get a hold of you?
Shout outs to everyone who's been sending good vibes my way, and yeah, like that stuff means a lot when you're going through some rough stuff. Like, just hearing people like reach out and just like say kind words, it's just like, it means a lot. So shout outs to anybody who like reached out on Twitter or anything like that, and even you guys for just like, I don't know, hoping I get better and not die. Yeah
we don't want you to die, Ray.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at PG_AC. If you guys are following me on there, you would know what's been going on. I always update that, like, pretty much no matter what. Like, I could be dying on my deathbed, and I'd be like, wait, let me just send out a tweet real quick.
God. I believe it.
But yeah.
No, as for me, I want to give a shout out to all of our listeners who are hopefully still listening to us after we've been gone for a while. I appreciate you guys listening to us and asking about the status of things, and I hope that we've quelled your fears that we're not fading away, that we're not disappearing. It's just been a bad few weeks, so we'll be back to our regular scheduled program once a week, hoping to record Sunday, Monday. This week we had to do Tuesday because yesterday I had some audio issues I couldn't get resolved until today. Yeah. Anyway, you can also follow me over on Twitter at Eldorian. I'll also be at Code on the Beach here in about 3 weeks. It'll be, I think it's the, yeah, it's the week after the expansion launches. I'll be out there in Florida talking about APIs. So that'll be a fun time. So if you're going to Code on the Beach, come check out my check out my talk. Anyway, thanks for we're closing out the show, so thanks for joining us here on episode 158 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, ideas you have for the show. Also, come join us over on our Discord. I don't remember the address off the top of my head, but I think it's like discord.me/WellMetPodcast or something like that. Also, thanks to Jake Butno for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next week.